Do you have what it takes to become an SEO translator? Coming up. Hello and welcome back to the Freelanceverse. It's time for another episode of Specialized on the channel. As you know, this is a series very close to my heart. I love doing it. It's great to have guests on, and today I have three experts from the field of SEO translation. SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization, and it's very important in e-commerce, in marketing in general. It allows companies and your clients to show up in search results in the vast galaxy of the internet. It's really hard to get noticed. So I'm very interested to learn more about SEO, how it factors into localization especially. But before we get into it, this episode is brought to you by MemoQ. Thank you so much to MemoQ for always supporting the Specialized series. MemoQ Translator Pro is a tool specifically made for translators. It helps them to improve translation quality, to increase productivity, and to meet tight deadlines. If you're interested in their product, make sure to click the link down below that leads you directly to their landing page. Now let's get on with the video. So welcome back, everyone. This is another episode of Specialized here on the Freelanceverse channel. This week we talk about SEO translation. And I'm honored to have three experts again on the panel today. We have Joanna, Magali, and Maria. Would you like to introduce yourselves, please? Joanna, would you like to start?
Hello, everyone. So I'm a Polish native speaker, and I translate and localize from German and English. And I have a Master of Arts in Translation and Bachelor in Cultural Studies. And I'm a freelancer since 2016.
Same as me. Okay, nice. And Magali?
Hi, I'm Magali. I'm based in Berlin. I translate into German from English and French, specializing in SEO translation and transcreation. And I've been a freelancer for almost 5 years now, since 2018.
Okay, and we have Maria.
Hi, I'm Maria Scheibenglaf. I'm an English into Spanish SEO translator. I work both as a freelancer and as part of a bigger team, a collective of sorts called Grizzle Translation Services, which was founded in 2016, but I've been in the industry for longer than that. I think it was 2011 that I started. My specialization in SEO translation is more recent, though, I would say since 2018, so about 6 years doing this.
Hey, that's exciting. So we all kind of started this path around the same time. Maria, can you tell us a bit? Well, how did you get into SEO translation? What was your path to get there?
Well, it found me. I think it's the case with many translators that the specialization finds you without you actively looking for it. It was through an agency. At the time, if I remember correctly, it was Sarah Presch. She's an international SEO expert that I still work with. She used to run a small marketing agency, and she needed people to help with an SEO translation project into Spanish. We'd been connected for a while, and I did say, look, I haven't done this ever, but if you're willing to teach me, I can help. We absolutely loved it, and I remember thinking, I want to do this. So just projects kept coming from Sarah, and simultaneously I was taking as many courses as I could find. I just studied loads, got more projects, got more clients, and with hands-on experience, I just learned more, and I keep learning. You never finish learning SEO, do you?
Yeah, that's great. That's encouraging also to many viewers, because I have a lot of people who don't exactly know what they want to specialize in, and then they postpone starting, you know, but you say actually it found you, right? And now you are one of the experts. I mean, I see you everywhere on LinkedIn. When I think SEO translation, you come to mind. Magali, how was it for you? Do you have any more like academic background or professional background, or did it also find you, or were you actively going after SEO?
Well, yes and no. Before I became a freelancer, I worked in an online company for more than 10 years, and their great strength was SEO. They still exist, and they are still very good at SEO, and they do I think no other marketing, so only SEO. And I was working as an editor and translator and later as head of the editorial department. And we worked very closely with the SEO department. All our content creation was SEO streamlined. So that's where I got the basics and where I learned everything actually about SEO. And when I started out as a freelance translator, actually I wasn't aware that SEO translation was a thing. I took it as one of my specializations, but wasn't aware of the fact that it would become the specialization and that there are still little translators doing this.
So for you, it was more of a straightforward decision because you had professional experience previously, so you knew the world of online marketing. I'm more and more aware that there is a specialization for everything, so I'm not surprised that there is SEO translation, but you're right. I mean, it's more like a meta specialization because you still have a content that's about the topic and then you do the SEO for that, right? So exactly. Joanna, can you tell us a bit like what actually are the contents that you're working on?
Before the content, when I started my first projects, the content was more general, I would say. Yeah, it was very different projects. Now I work closely with one client and it's maybe like two pool of products, I would say cosmetics and house care products. And it's descriptions and elements of not really websites. Before it was parts of websites like titles and meta descriptions, but now it's more of a copy for small parts of the website or listings.
So would you say you are both equally specialized in SEO and in household and cosmetics?
No. Because about the when it comes to the products I'm describing, I receive a very thorough briefs, and so I don't need to pre-research that really. And I just use my localization skills or copywriting because, you know, for me, it starts turning more into copywriting than it leaves the translation.
That's interesting. So for you, you think it could be any product and you would do your SEO localization and copywriting?
If prepared.
It would work out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's prepared. For me, yes.
If it's prepared properly. All right. I'm kind of vaguely aware that the algorithms of search engines are always changing and you're not really sure what works, right? How can you guarantee to your clients that your SEO will work? Is there some kind of measurement you do? Are you doing keyword research?
First of all, there's never any guarantees. Any provider giving guarantees on SEO is bluffing. And there's not just one algorithm, there's hundreds and hundreds, and they're updated every day, every hour. It's just that we only hear of the most important ones when they tend to have a massive effect across the web. Google and other engines tend to keep the workings of the algorithms quite secret, but there's ways to test how they are working, and they do leak every now and again. They give you hints. Like I tend to follow people who work at Google, like John Mueller or other experts, newsletters, anything you can. Attend every discussion. Go to Brighton SEO every year if I can. I actually started going last year for the first time. I hadn't had the opportunity before. You just need to stay in the loop, in the conversation, and then a big portion of it is experimenting and testing and A/B testing and trying different things based on your own assumptions. So for translators looking into getting into this field, I definitely recommend that they build their own website, which, you know, everyone needs a website anyway, and test everything on their own website. That's a great way to learn without, you know, potentially causing wreck havoc on a client's website. So as they are starting, working with agency that can guide them and train them, and doing their own experiments on their own site is a safe way to try and learn how the algorithms work, but also always staying in the conversation online and offline.
Interesting. So you're testing on your own time, basically, not on a client project on your website. But is there also time during the project to test what you're doing? Or is this kind of it's your best guess based on your previous testing and
you shouldn't jump into a project without being very certain of what you're doing. What you can do when you're starting out is just dealing with smaller parts of the project. So maybe just doing the multilingual keyword research for the project, and then someone else will insert those keywords into the copy, like Johanna was saying. So be a little piece in a big chain of professionals working towards a common goal.
Exactly, I can imagine that. Yeah, and that's where the good client relationship comes in, right? That you are in constant communication with them, so you receive feedback, you can learn for a future job. Which brings me to a huge topic, which always people are the most interested in these videos, which is the clients, right? Magali, can you tell us, as much as you're allowed to share, of course, who are your clients? Are you working with agencies, clients, direct clients? Where do you find them? How do you talk to them? Can you share a bit of your business practice in that regard?
Yeah, sure. Actually, it's 50-50. You have the agencies, which can be as well LSPs as creative agencies or SEO agencies. And then you have direct clients. And my direct clients are mostly smaller companies, small and middle-sized companies. How do you find them? Actually, they found me. I've been lucky. I mean, you have to position yourself clearly, but then you have also to have a bit of luck. And I've been lucky so far, fingers crossed. And how do you talk to them? Well, I think someone mentioned a marketing background. I think that's very important, because you have to understand how your clients are looking at their clients. And this is what will help you a lot in understanding what they want, what they are aiming at, and how their SEO strategy has to be adjusted for the market they want to cover.
So I don't work with direct clients. Someone has to continue with the service after, which is why I work mostly for marketing and communication agencies. I have my specialization within the specialization.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I just wanted to say. You're also moving, or you're organically moving kind of into copywriting. And that copywriting is in Polish directly then. I understand how SEO works, okay, but then we have the multilingual aspect of SEO localization, right? And how do you handle this if you get a job in English or German, I think is also a source text of yours, and you have probably a keyword list with research all already done by the client, and then you have to do the Polish research, right? So can you tell us a bit how that works?
Yeah, I have to use tools which are usually provided by the clients. I don't buy subscriptions for my own tools, because also different clients have, some have their own, some buy subscriptions. So in my case, it's a different, but they are very similar, and they work in a similar way. So I translate the list I get in English or in German, and then I check them, how they perform in the queue, in the planning tools. And also I check their synonyms with lists of, with the help of dictionaries also.
Sometimes you just have to ditch whole keywords altogether. It just won't work culturally, which is fun, because then they say, right, so what do we do now? You're like, you have to come up with something to fix those cultural mismatches. Right.
Sometimes you have to guess also. Sometimes you get spontaneously an idea which is a bit random, and then it turns out to work. As I don't know how to describe it, because this is a the creative part, but yeah, you have to try and error.
Exactly, that's what makes you the expert, right? You know how to judge which one works. Magali, can you tell us, do you have an example maybe of something that was very, very difficult for you to work on, a very hard project, and can you share how you managed to do it, how you overcame it?
Yes, I do have an example. I was working on a project for an LSP, which was in turn working for a creative agency. As we often have in our industry, you know, a chain of people working on the same thing. And the creative agency was very unhappy with the keywords that we provided, my team and myself. And so my client was, of course, also very unhappy, and we didn't know exactly what the problem was. So we managed to have a meeting with both other parties present, and we found out that the creative agency had, I would say, a different understanding of keywords. They wanted keywords that have had a very high search volume, but which is one of the metrics we look up in the tools, and which is one hint at how good a keyword can be. But it's not the only factor that you have to take into account. One important factor is search intent, and then you have to also apply common sense and try to think, what will someone who is interested in my product, will the person be looking for? And this must coincide with what's in the article or the page or whatever, and with a keyword.
Do I understand this correctly? The client wanted you to use the best performing keywords, but they were not the best in your context.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
To give you a quick example, for instance, I don't know if you want to. I'm thinking of an example. I have been working once on a website about dog food, and they had an article about some kind of dog film at the Berlinale, the film festival in Germany. But a keyword which contains Berlinale is, for instance, not very suitable if you want to sell dog food, if you want to target an audience which might be interested in buying dog food. You have to narrow it down. It cannot be too broad, or you will never actually reach your, you will not have a good ranking, and you will not reach the target audience.
And you may even harm your rankings, because people might click on your website expecting to find something, not find something else, and bounce back.
Oh, okay. Can even have a negative effect. Yeah, because Berlinale as a keyword is probably very high performing, but not for dog food consumers, right? Okay, I get it. All right. Maria, you added a nice touch there with actually harming the client's website or the client search results. If people are using Amazon once in a while, they're all aware of these insane titles that you see sometimes that are just full of keywords, right? And it doesn't really make sense. Can you tell us a bit about the balance between natural reading flow, a lot of keywords, but not too much so it doesn't become harmful? How is the, there is the term keyword stuffing, right?
I won't comment on Amazon and stuff, because e-commerce SEO isn't my specialization, but I will talk about keywords. If you follow SEO newsletters and podcasts and stuff, you may, or conferences, you may have heard a few specialists say that keywords are dead and that SEO is dead, and it's just a myth. What's happened is that the goal of keywords has changed over time. So back in the day when SEO was first starting, keywords, including keywords, was a matter of including as many as possible, because Google would take how many times the keywords were there as they determine whether the information on the page was relevant or not. And that's called keyword stuffing, and one of the first updates to the Google algorithm fixed that, and it became a bad practice. Nowadays, you need to insert keywords in your copy, thinking that Google is becoming cleverer and cleverer and becoming a semantic engine. So it's not so much about forcing a keyword into the content, but just making the meaning of the text clear to Google so that it will serve the content to many, many, many queries. There's lots of ways to find information about one same topic. Yes, you do include keywords, yes, you do include synonyms, but you make it natural and you think of the experience that the person reading that information is going to get, and that the context is clear enough for Google to understand it and then serve it when appropriate.
Okay, makes perfect sense. This is so interesting. I would love to talk to you much more about this, but we're already coming to an end. And I always like to finish these videos with a word of advice by the panelists. So, Joanna, could you share some words that you wish you knew when you started, for example, in 2016, or if someone is watching and wants to become an SEO translator, how should they approach it?
I would say don't be afraid to learn new things. And they're often not as complicated as they seem to be.
That's very reassuring. Thank you. Short and to the point. Magali?
I would have said the same. Don't be afraid of SEO. Many people tend to think that it's extremely complicated, and it's not. It's a lot of common sense. So don't be afraid. And also to all those translators who do SEO but don't advertise it, do advertise it. Tell all your colleagues and all your clients about it.
Great advice. And Maria, to finish off the video.
I would say don't wait until you feel that you're an expert to start doing what Joanna and Maria have said. Be honest, be upfront, reach out to your agency clients and say, I am pursuing an interest in SEO translations. If there's any tasks that you can assign to me that I might be able to perform with some guidance, please give me the opportunity, and just be open as to where in your journey you are, because there are many people in the same place and many other people a little bit further ahead that will be able and willing to help you out.
Interesting. Take a proactive approach and go to your existing clients and say you want to get into this field. Okay, amazing. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it back at home watching this episode. I'm going to put all the links to reach out to the panelists down below that they would like to add. So feel free to reach out. I'm sure they're more than willing to talk to you. Let me know in the comments which specialized episode you would like to see next. And I see you next Monday with the next episode. Thank you. Bye-bye.